I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, my thoughts on the latest turn in the presidential campaign. I don't like it. But first, do you ever feel like your diverse workplace is a minefield with opportunities to unintentionally offend or annoy your coworkers? Do you ever wish you had a roadmap to guide you through that difficult terrain? Well, now you do. Diversity Inc. magazine is publishing a series of articles about things you just should not say to workers of diverse backgrounds. And the magazine inspired us and is helping us to bring you our own series. In honor of Latino Heritage Month, this time we're talking about things never to say to Latino executives. Back with us is Luke Visconti. He's the co-founder of Diversity Inc. Also joining us is Daniel Guadalupe. He's a lawyer and a partner at the New Jersey-based firm of Norris, McLaughlin & Marcus. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
It's good to be here, Michelle. Thanks for having me back.
Delighted to be here.
Well, thanks. Luke, I want to start with something that is not on the list. You use the term Latino in this article. I mean, I hear Latino, I hear Hispanic. Is there one term that's better than the other, and why, and how do you figure
that
out?
I think Latino is a better word. It better fits the culture. Hispanic does not as well describe the culture. In our opinion at Diversity Inc. is a better term, and you could use Latina for women, which is a nice way of putting it.
Luke, you made the point that Hispanic to some is offensive. Can you say why?
I think it harkens back to a colonial era and the oppression of the Spaniards on the indigenous peoples. And I think that's why I think, in my perception, there's a bit of offense taken to Hispanic.
And to add to that, I think not all Latinos feel that way. Many Latinos feel that Latino is a term that is identified with the left, with liberalism, and it's not a neutral term. So I must make that clear, that within the Latino community, there is a continuing debate about that. Hispanic is the more conservative term. Latino is the more liberal term.
That's interesting.
So let's go to the list. We just got to go to number one. Don't worry. You'll get the promotion. You're Latina. Luke.
That's an amazing kind of thing to say to somebody. It really is. I mean, that's about as insulting as you could possibly get. It assumes that there's an affirmative action program that promotes somehow unqualified people. There's no rational company in this entire country that has an affirmative action program that promotes unqualified people.
And I should add, Luke, and Michelle, it goes further. People question your academic credentials. When I started practicing, I remember that I encountered this lawyer in an elevator. And he was getting to know me. I was getting to know him. And I was fortunate to have attended two Ivy League schools, college and law school. And he made a comment. He said, well, I went to Rutgers, but I know why you went to Columbia and the University of Pennsylvania. You're Latino. And the assumption was that it was easy for me to get into the schools. So I said, well, I graduated with a 3.6 from Columbia, and I had good grades in law school, and there was no affirmative action program. And I came from the island of Puerto Rico, where, ironically, the schools considered that we were all rich just because we were coming from the island, which was definitely not the case. So,
do you think that you were heard, or do you think that somebody who's going to say something like that is just so wedded to his or her grievance that they don't really don't care what the facts are?
There's no question that you are hurt when you hear statements like that, because the underlying statement is you are different, and I want to let you know that you are different and that I consider you to be different and that you're not my equal or that you shouldn't be where you are.
Items 2 and 3 on the list. When did you arrive in this country? And hola, habla inglés. Explain what's so offensive about that.
Well, you can also add the comment that has been made to me by strangers who want to connect. They also say, hey, amigo. And they throw an amigo here and there. Well,
oh dear.
I think that there is an assumption that our native language is not English, that it is Spanish, that all Latinos speak Spanish and that they speak it fluently, and that somehow appealing to ethnicity right away in an overt and in-your-face kind of way is the way to connect. But what that does is create a reaction on someone like me that says, you are trying to pigeonhole me into this category.
There's one on the list that I think was a head-scratcher for some of us, which is, do you speak Spanish, as opposed to assuming that one speaks Spanish. Do you speak Spanish? And I have to tell you that every day in this office, now obviously we have a unique job, but not so unique, where somebody is asking if someone speaks another language. There's an email every day from someone saying, can you speak or read German? Can someone here speak or read French? I need somebody to translate. I need someone to make an overseas call. Seems to me that that's such an asset that you would want people to know if you were bilingual. So what's so terrible about asking?
I think in the way that the question, the person we went to was Henry Hernandez, who is a experienced chief diversity officer in several companies. He, in a way, I think was saying, how Latino are you? When that question's asked, in other words, it could be Latino to Latino, and you're trying to establish a pecking order. And I think that that's the kind of, you know, to ask the question in the context of, we have a business operation that requires a second language, that's one thing. To do it to establish rank is another thing entirely.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about things you should not say to Latinos in the office. We're speaking with attorney Daniel Guadalupe and Luke Visconti of Diversity Inc. Luke, one of the other items deals with making assumptions about race, that you're not white, or someone even, you know, raising the question of race. I'm not really sure under what circumstances anybody really needs to inquire about these matters, but well, Daniel, has that ever happened to you? Have you been asked to identify your race, and how do you respond to that?
Well, what I always respond with, I try to explain that because our ancestry comes in part from Spain and in part from Africans who were brought by the Spaniards as slaves and by Indians who were decimated by the Spaniards. We have a rainbow of colors, and there are Latinos who are of African descent and their skin is darker, and there are Latinos who look Scandinavian, and everything in between. And when I explain this, people look at me in amazement, like they cut class or they never paid attention to their history teacher in high school.
I think that's the thing. Latino is not a race. Mm-hmm. It's a culture.
Exactly.
You know, well, so the corollary to this, Luke, I've heard from other people, particularly Afro-Latinos or Afro-Latinas, saying, people saying to them, you don't look Latino.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Luke, what's your thought on how one should respond to this? Now, Daniel's been very patient with people and giving them this sort of history lesson, but how do you, which is, you know, kind of him to do. What's your thought on this? How would one respond to this?
I would be very cut and dry. I mean, if you're talking with a human resources executive, which is the context of the comment, you're not white, you need to really educate a person like that. In my opinion, and I'm more strident than most people, I guess, but I would say, look, you know, Latino is a culture. Black, white, those are races. Asian, you could be an Asian Latino. In South America, there's Asian Latinos.
Absolutely.
So you know that you have to do the education thing in that kind of a situation, in my opinion.
One item on the list, I don't know, maybe I'm pleading for absolution here. It says butchering a Latino's last name. Now, I don't know. I mean, I could, over the course of a day, have to pronounce a name in Creole, in Hindi, and I kind of want to say, give me a break here, because there are different ways that sometimes people anglicize their names to make them easier. I don't know. I just, I guess I'm looking for absolution. What do you think?
I think
names are tricky, and also sometimes people's first language themselves is not English, and they're struggling. I don't know, when's the line between when you say something and...
Well, I think especially the person who said this had a very difficult name to pronounce. And I think that, you know, I would feel slighted if people I work with regularly didn't take the time to pronounce my name correctly. And I think there's the kind of defining line.
Mm-hmm.
If the person asks for a pronunciation, then if I'm the person being asked, I would pronounce it for the person and help them get over it. If you find yourself regularly slighted by a coworker or a boss, especially, who regularly pronounces your name wrong, incorrectly, I think you have good reason to be insulted.
Yeah, I think it depends on the circumstances and the person involved. Mm-hmm. I think that, for example, I know of no one named Jose who pronounces his name Joe's.
Mm.
Now, okay, if someone comes along and I'm Jose, and hey, Joe's, how you doing? And you know, a stranger, I would be offended. I mean,
right.
what are they doing? You know, Now, if your name is Guadalupe, right, and many years ago, you start telling people, listen, it's not Guadalupe, it's Guadalupe, but they still call you Guadalupe. Well, you know, after years go by, you get tired of correcting people, mm-hmm. or just telling them how to pronounce it in Spanish. So, yeah, you know, you say, oh, what's the big deal?
And there are a number of items on this list that, again, your heart sinks when you read them. And you're just saying, please tell me that this happened, you know, one time on an airplane a long time ago and far away. But, like, you're not like them. Can you show me your knife? Why don't all you Latinos stop doing that? And we're laughing, but Daniel, please tell me nobody said any of these things of you.
Tell you, absolutely, absolutely. And in many different permutations, from bring out your burglary tools to I feel like I have stock in Victorinox, you know, the Swiss Army knife company. I think this ties into what I was discussing with Luke before the show, which was the perception that the media creates about the stereotypes. And, of course, ever since West Side Story won an Oscar and became a famous movie, the image of the Puerto Rican brandishing the knife was ingrained in the American psyche. And, unfortunately, that has continued on and on and on and on. And it is difficult when you go see a movie or when you're watching television and you don't see Latinos as expert commentators in news shows, or you don't see them as main characters in sitcoms and in movies, and you see the same stereotypes being perpetuated. I let some scruff grow on my face, and you know, even some attorneys that work with me say, you look like a Colombian drug dealer. Or there's one guy who called me Fidel all the time. I would see him in the bathroom. This is, you know, a senior, older attorney who's like, hey, Fidel, how are you? And it's those types of comments that make you think, gee, you know, really haven't made any progress.
And I was going to ask you about that. What about your kids? Do you think that they will have to fight these battles, or do you think that that if we were to sort of get together 10 years from now, maybe we wouldn't? You think we'll still need this list or not?
I think that it will take some time for the mainstream to hopefully in the future get rid of this list and the comments that this list contains. I think that we have made some progress, but I don't think until we resolve this immigration issue and we put the role of Latinos in this country, which is to be Americans and to continue contributing to the fabric of America as they have had since the beginning of this country, and not too many people know that. I think that eventually, I am very hopeful, and I think it will happen.
Luke Visconti, final thought?
You know, considering Latinos will be 30% of our population by 2043, it will go away, but we'll be old by the time it gets there, Dan.
And you know, not to scare your listeners or anything, this is a total joke, but to borrow the joke from Paul Rodriguez, he says, hey, you're in America, speak Spanish.
Just a joke. You can answer those letters.
Yeah.
Luke Visconti is the co-founder of Diversity, Inc., and Daniel Guadalupe is a partner at the New Jersey-based law firm of Norris, McLaughlin & Marcus. They were both kind enough to join us from member station WBGO in Newark. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle. It's great to be here.
Thank you. My pleasure.